And good morning. It's 8:49 Thursday morning here on WGBH's Morning Edition. And joining me, Jared Bowen. Good morning, Jared.
Good morning, Bob.
Well, first we start out with a very well-known piece of work by John Waters known as Hairspray, which is being produced locally here.
Yeah, this is being done. This is sort of ironic in a way. It's being done by the Wheelock Family Theater, and it is on. It's playing through February 23rd, right through school vacation week. I loved this production. It's fantastic, and I say it's ironic because you think of John Waters, and he's so subversive.
Family theater,
yeah, exactly. Well, of course, we all know that the musical, the Broadway, you know, very successful Broadway musical, was created based on his work, Hairspray, based on that film. And this is a story of Tracy Turnblad. She's an overweight girl in growing up in Baltimore in 1962. Not the most popular girl, not the most successful life, but all she wants to do is to get a space on the Corny Collins show, a role. And this is all based on John Waters actually growing up in the very turbulent 60s, a time of riots and massive civil rights issues, particularly in Baltimore. But we find Tracy Turnblad, this girl who's just determined to have her way, and she gets onto the Corny Collins show and then incites a revolution and is able to score integration. And it's such a rousing story. It's such a great musical. It won a number of Tony Awards, and this is really, really well done at the Wheelock Family Theater. I mean, from the moment you enter, it's sort of an immersive experience. The cast comes in all sides of the theater, so it's great use of the space. And then you have really, really wonderful talent on stage. Wow. It's very well directed, so it's really fun. It's very engaging. And I also think it's really interesting that Wheelock Family Theater is doing this. And I think I applaud them, frankly, because some of the material is a little adult.
Do they say bring the kids, or what do they say?
Well, it's intentionally for kids, of course, because it's a family theater. So I think some of the jokes go over the kids' heads. But I was also thinking about this in the perspective of all of this happened even before my lifetime, but it's something that I'm very aware of through history and current affairs. But when you think of today's kids, this is probably such a remote concept for them, the issue of integration and blacks and whites not even being able to dance together,
right, yeah,
let alone anything else. So I think this is probably a really good eye-opening piece for kids, sort of a history lesson, as funny as that is to say, through the piece Hairspray. And so I think it's great on every single level because it really works.
Wow, that's great. So through February 23rd, Hairspray at the Wheelock Family Theater. Next, we turn to Machines and Mechanizations, Explorations in Contemporary Kinetic Sculpture. Sounds like fun.
Yeah, this is a really interesting show. This is at the Fuller Craft Museum in Brockton. It just opened, and it's on a view through June 1st. And basically what this show is doing is it's looking at artists who sculpt in motion. So they're pieces that move, and they whirl, and they wind, and move in every capacity. And the Fuller Craft Museum, obviously, that's their mission, to look at craft. And it's their argument that kinetic sculpture really started with the craft movement through windmills and whirligigs and pieces like that. And we know, of course, that it had its heyday in the 50s and 60s with pieces like artists like Alexander Calder. But I was able to talk to their curator, Elizabeth McLaughlin, on the history of kinetic sculpture as it inspires this show.
Most of the art historians will tell you that it began with Marcel Duchamp, who created his famous bicycle wheel sculpture back in 1913, which is a little over 100 years ago. We here at Fuller Craft believe that the early beginnings of kinetic sculpture are rooted in craft, such as whirligigs and weather vanes and pull toys, and that those wonderful craft objects really paved the way for the kinetic sculptors working in the 19th century, 20th century, and those working today.
Well, how prevalent is kinetic sculpture today?
It's not widespread, but there are great artists who are working. And so that's what you see in this show is artists who are using motion in different capacity. Then they're also sculpting in sound to some degree. There's one very, very evocative piece. It looks like an old 19th century toy, and it's even accompanied by a music box so that when you wind it, different various pieces on this piece on the artwork move like a girl moving her arms, or a butterfly looks like it's floating, and on the one hand, it looks sort of like a fun, enchanting piece because it's also Beatles music that accompanies it. But it also, as Beth McLaughlin told me, it's got this very layered depth of emotion here because it sort of evokes this longing and this sadness as you're hearing this music and seeing a piece that conjures older times. But you also have really, really fun pieces. There's another artist who sculpts in color with these balls that once you start moving them, it's just mesmerizing the way that you see them move, the way that you see the color suddenly come alive and interact. And then you've got a great fun piece called Swine Flu, where you have pigs flying, and it's done by a local artist who, by the way, after having a stroke, he had been a painter. After having a stroke, he had suddenly this realization that this is what he wanted to do, so he found himself in a new way. So there's a lot of exploration to be done in this show about the exploration of kinetic sculpture.
And this is at the Fuller Craft Museum in Brockton through June the 1st, similar to a show that's at the MIT Museum now called 5,000 Moving Parts, if you want to see a different kind of kinetic sculpture. That's a fascinating exhibit as well. Next, we turn to a film opening tomorrow, the all-star cast, The Monuments Men.
Yeah, this is unfortunate, Bob.
You don't sound very enthusiastic.
This is really unfortunate.
Oh, really?
Unfortunately, the case here is that it's a great, terrific story. It's based on truth, and it's about a group of scholars, men and women. It wasn't just Monuments Men, who during World War II, from a number of different countries in Europe and America, got together, and they were museum directors and curators and conservationists, and it was their mission to protect the art of Europe in this time of great conflict, both in trying to persuade the Allies not to bomb certain institutions and areas and buildings, and to actually save the art, rescue the art from the Nazis. It was the concept of Adolf Hitler to create this massive museum in which he was going to take all of this art. And remember, he was a struggling artist in Vienna. He was going to take all of this art and put it in this museum. So these are pieces, paintings, sculptures, masterworks, including Michelangelo, Vermeer, that he had looted from private homes, largely of Jewish families, from institutions. He just raided everything he could with his team for eventual exhibition in this museum. And as the war started to falter, Hitler had issued an edict saying that if the Reich was to go down, then this work was to be destroyed. So it was the real mission of this group to save these pieces. Unfortunately, in this film directed by George Clooney, it does not work. And it's so sad because it's an all-star cast of Bill Murray, John Goodman, Cate Blanchett, George Clooney, who also stars Matt Damon. Yes. And what he's done here is he's tried to create a movie that's a semblance of everything. It's one part Saving Private Ryan. It's one part Hogan's Hero. And I have to say the music in this piece is so awful. It's so distracting. He tries to make it part espionage, part romance, and it just does not work.
So maybe a film to pass by.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Well, I can't leave you this morning, Jar, without talking about this sculpture at Wellesley College that is actually making national news called Sleepwalker.
Yeah, well, I just first read about this, 2 days ago. Yeah. So apparently it's a sculpture. I haven't seen it myself, but it's a sculpture of what appears to be an almost nude man, sort of middle-aged. You can see him sagging. He's in his underwear, and he's at, I guess, one of the main entryways to Wellesley College, and it's part of an exhibit of Tony Mattelli, which is at the Davis Museum right now. And I guess a number of Wellesley students are in an uproar saying it's inappropriate and they want it taken out, and I think that is so abhorrent. Bob, art is supposed to provoke. It is supposed to bring about emotion. Here you have a sculpture. It's a benign sculpture. And that's partly what this artist does, is sculpt and represent banality. And so you have this man. You see him sagging. You see him in his realistic middle-agedness. And that's not acceptable. I don't understand this. I mean, art is supposed to make you think. You're supposed to have a response, whether it's good or bad. I mean, sometimes it's provocative and sensational in gratuitous ways. I do not see that that's the case here.
Well, this is certainly provoking response, that's for sure. Okay, and tomorrow night we have Open Studio at 8:30 on WGBH2, and what will we be seeing?
Well, we just talked about the Fuller Craft Museum. You can see a full tour of the show, so you can actually see these pieces. We'll also speak with the moderator of the Boston Athenaeum's museum series. You and I will talk again about that next week when they talk about the future of the museum in regards to technology. And we'll go to the Morgan Library in New York, where they have an Edgar Allan Poe show called Terror of the Soul.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's all tomorrow night. 8:30, Open Studio, a great program with Jared Bowen. Thank you, Jared.
Thanks,
see
Bob.
You next Thursday.